Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, as the old preachers used to say, I feel my help coming. This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 792, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary. This podcast, my dear friends, is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. Evidently, if you read the word and pray, your help will come. Just hang in there. Where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. By the way, beloved, if you listen to me every day, do what we do here, you will be a seminary graduate. This is all seminary level stuff. And so just listen. You can go and do your housework and everything else. Just cut me on loud. We're on Alexa as well and other many other platforms. If you need to go walk the dog or push the baby in the stroller and get some exercise, put the headphones on and listen. And without much effort, you will become a seminary graduate. You're getting a seminary education because we deal with the Word of God and use some of the best materials used in seminaries and Bible colleges around the world. Anyway, the aim of this podcast, my dear friends, is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and the giving of the sense of it, it is my humble prayer that the church would be revived and that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come and saved from the eternal burning hell by believing the gospel, by believing in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who said, the most loving, most wonderful, most important words, most life-changing words, and all of his words, don't get it twisted, all of his words were this way. But this one, to me, stands above all of them. When he said, as we find it in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everybody who's here and everybody who's out there, pray for lost sinners to be saved. Dear friend,
to give you some background to that passage as to why you need to be saved. You need to be saved, my dear friend, because you are a sinner and you cannot save yourself. You cannot do enough good works. You cannot give enough money. You cannot sacrifice enough to get saved. You need to believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible says you are a sinner. I am a sinner. Everybody in your family is a sinner. Everybody in your community is a sinner. We all have sinned. Do not think more highly of other people than you should, or of yourself. For the Bible says, God says, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Just from that statement alone, you ought to know that the Bible is the Word of God, for how would anybody know that? Has anybody done a survey of billions of people who have lived on this earth and asked each person, have you sinned before? This is a proof to you and to me that the Word of God, the Bible that I'm quoting from, is the very Word of God. Only God knows we're all sinners. You say, well, not me. I'm a pretty good person. Have you ever told a lie in your life? Have you ever stolen anything from your parents, like quarters from your father's drawer, your money from your mother's purse, and you went out and bought some now-laters or some candy that they never gave you permission for, or you stole the proverbial cookie out of the cookie jar? You say, well, yes, I did that. Well, you know why you did that? It is because you have a sinful nature. You're prone to sin. The Bible says we came out of the womb telling lies. It's in our nature to sin against God. It's a shame. It's sad. It's painful. It's ugly. It's hateful. Have you ever coveted after or lusted after somebody or something or what other people have in your life? Have you ever disobeyed and dishonored your parents in any way, talking about them behind their back? Having a bad attitude? Not answering respectfully, disobeying them when they tell you to do something? Have you ever dishonored God by taking His holy name in vain? All righty then, you're a sinner. Because I would venture to say you have broken all of those five commandments that I just named out of the Ten Commandments of God. You are a wicked sinner just like I am, and just like the Pope is. Yes, the Pope is a wicked sinner. The Dalai Lama is a wicked sinner. There's no nice sinners. We're all wicked sinners because we have rebelled against God Almighty and His law. We have broken His Ten Commandments by our sinful nature and by our wicked choices. And even the kind and sweet Joel Osteen, the pastor of the largest church in America, is a wicked sinner. And I believe that he would be humble enough to tell you that. We all are sinners. Whoever is your spiritual hero, your mother, your father, they're all wicked sinners, and you're a wicked sinner, and I am too. And we all need to be saved from the power of our sins, from the pain of our sins, and from the punishment of our sins, which is eternal, the eternal burning hell. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's fine. Your unbelief will not change the fact that there is an eternal burning hell that everybody must go to if they reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. If they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. And then the next verse the Bible talks about regarding sin is the wages of sin is death. The Bible says the wages, the payment, the paycheck for sin that we just got through talking about is death. We are all, you're familiar with death, aren't you? It is the strangest thing, isn't it? We never really recover from it, do we? Death is in your future. If you're listening to me today, we're all going to die. Our bodies are all going to be put in some kind of grave. Hopefully somebody will have a little memorial for you, but that doesn't matter. And our soul will go to that awful place called hell that Jesus Christ preached on more than anybody in the Bible, more than any prophet, more than any evangelist, more than any apostle, more than any writer in the Bible, and sadly more than most preachers today. He preached on hell more than he did about heaven, because hell is a real place, and he preached on it to warn you and me not to go there. He preached one time in one of his many sermons on hell that it would be better for you to cut off, to amputate your hand or your foot. Your hand and your foot. It'd be better for you to believe in Jesus Christ and go to heaven with an amputated hand and an amputated foot in a wheelchair or on crutches than to go to hell with both hands and both feet. You say, well, I'm going to just go on and live my life the way I want to. You go on with your bad self. You're going to a bad place. Call hell. I don't care if you're white or black or red or yellow. I don't care if you're educated or uneducated. I don't care if you're rich or poor. If you don't humble yourself down and confess your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day. See, just the mere fact that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, died for you. You're going to hell if you reject that. That's a fact. As sure as you're looking at me, you're going to hell. You say, well, preacher, I've never heard a preacher talk to me like this before. I know, because most preachers are going to hell. They're going to hell too. Many of them don't even know Jesus. If they don't preach the gospel to you and warn you of the hell to come, they probably don't know Jesus Christ themselves. Because this is laid out very clearly in the Bible. Jesus Christ described hell as a place right now, as we speak, as I speak, right now, and it's been going on for thousands of years. Hell is a place, my dear friend, where there, according to Jesus Christ, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now you look squarely at my face and see if I'm playing with you. I'm not here for my health, believe me. God has me here for these divine appointments. And by the way, thank God, many people have listened to what I have told them from the Word of God, and they have gotten saved. Some have come back to the Lord who were already saved but got backslidden. It's your time. Today is the day of salvation, my beloved. Right now, it could all end today for you. Jesus Christ described hell in another sermon. He said, it is a place where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You think Jesus is playing? Jesus does not play, man, woman. I don't care if you like it or not. Jesus does not play. He was not a comedian as we have in churches today, where the pastor is a comedian, or he invites a comedian into the church, and other such demonic foolishness. Jesus does not have anything to do with that. This is a very serious matter, so serious that God Almighty, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave up his only son to come and suffer and bleed and die for your ugly sins, your whoredom, your adultery, your fornication, your lust, your lying, your stealing, your incest, your homosexuality, your sodomy, your lesbianism, your drunkenness, your rebelliousness against your parents, your stubbornness, your pride, your meanness, and I can go on. That's just a few sins that you're going to hell for, that he has already paid for you not to go to hell. None of us deserve to go to heaven. If we go, it's because we believe in the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, who John the Baptist said was the Lamb of God who took away, who is the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. Your sins and mine. And my advice to you is to humble yourself down, get off your high horse, and get on your knees and believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what Jesus says in this most loving, most wonderful, and most important passage, I believe, in the Word of God. Jesus says, whosoever. The word whosoever, my dear friend, includes you. Whosoever. God so loved the world. Are you in the world? He loves you then. Whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. I'm preaching this to you and telling you this like this may very well be my last day on earth. That's how I'm looking at it. Because it may very well be. I'm just a beggar telling other beggars where the bread is. Whosoever includes you. No matter how many sins you've committed, no matter how ugly your sins are, and all sin is ugly and nasty in God's sight. whosoever, the next word is believeth. Believeth is a very simple word. It means to trust in, to have faith in. To depend on, to rely on. I am not going to heaven because I deserve to go to heaven. I'm going to heaven because I trust in Jesus Christ. I have faith in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm trying to convince you to believe in Jesus Christ. I'm trying to persuade you to believe in Jesus Christ. I am sharing with you the gospel so that you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, my beloved. Don't die and go to hell when you don't have to, when Jesus Christ already went through hell and went to hell for you to save your soul from hell so that you can go to heaven, because the next phrase is should not perish. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not perish and go to hell, but have everlasting life. That's what Jesus Christ said. Don't worry about what other people say. Don't worry about what preachers say and pastors say and false prophets say. You believe in what Jesus Christ said. You follow his instructions, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which we still have today, will try to add everything else and make you fearful that you can't get saved until you do this, this, and this. I'm telling you what Jesus Christ said, and he's the only one who can set you free. You're not following my instructions. You follow his instructions. He said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So all you need to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ right now with your heart. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shall be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved from hell and saved to heaven. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray and ask him to save your soul right now. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The calling upon the name of the Lord is just an expression from your heart of what you're doing in your heart, believing in Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation. So, dear friend, if you don't know how to pray the sinner's prayer, you never have prayed the sinner's prayer, that's all right. I will help you. You just believe in your heart in Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. That is called the gospel. That is called the good news. And that's all you have to do to get saved. You don't have to go to some beautiful, ornate church to do it. So that little lie the devil is telling you right now, he's telling you, why don't you just wait till this plague pandemic is over, and then you can go do it right at the church. Another lie the devil is telling you right now is, well, why don't you go ahead and get yourself cleaned up first and stop all of your drunkenness and partying first before you go to Jesus. See, even the devil knows you need to, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you ought to repent. No, do that right now. That's a trick of the devil. Because number one, you're not going to clean yourself up. Number two, what the Lord wants you to do is come to him so he can clean you up. So, dear friend, you just simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Well, I want to do some good works. and earn my way to heaven. You don't have to do any good works. You can't do enough good works to go to heaven. You can't give enough money to go to heaven. All you need to do is believe, as Jesus Christ said. So follow me in prayer as you believe in your heart in Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Let's pray together. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you. In fact, Lord, the sins that this preacher has stated, I have committed all of them. And I am guilty of sin and of breaking your Ten Commandments. And I deserve to go to hell just as a criminal deserves to go to jail. Holy Father God in heaven, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who I believe suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins by faith. I believe that he died and was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today, and change my life, and fill me with your Holy Spirit, and help me to repent. Help me to turn from my wicked and evil life. And help me by your Holy Spirit to walk in the new life that you have provided for me. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you just prayed that sinner's prayer with me, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Congratulations for doing the most important thing in life. Now, to help you grow in the faith, please email us today. We have some free materials that we want to send you at dw3@gospellightsociety.com, or you can go to gospellightsociety.com immediately and start reading my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. This book will help you take the next steps as a Christian, to grow and become the strong Christian disciple that God wants you to be. So with that, my dear friends, let's continue on in the service, the standing between the living and the dead service, already in progress, as we're at the scripture and the sense. Today, beloved, we are reading Zechariah chapter 1, verse 2. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I thank you for your holy word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, and I thank you for your divine strength. And I pray that you'll give us all your divine strength to do the most important work on earth, and that is to preach, to proclaim, to teach your holy gospel and your holy word to others. And it is the hardest job in the world because we have so many enemies inside and out who are against it. And they're really targeting you, but we get caught in the crossfire. And we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your protection. So, Lord, help us to stand up under the pressure and to stand flat-footed and deliver your holy gospel and your holy word, and to help people along the way, and to be unmovable, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For we know that our labor is not in vain. Lord, have your holy word to find a lodging place in our hearts. Help us to remember it. Help us to meditate on it. Help us to share it with others. Proclaim your gospel from it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Dear friends, that was Zechariah chapter 1, verse 2. Now, here is the sense of it as we still delve into the background of this book from the Faith Life Study Bible. As it reads, the book of Zechariah has five sections. It begins with an introductory call to repentance. And sad to say, we all need that still today. Pardon me. The second and longest section describes Zechariah's eight visions, which he uses to challenge the people and affirm the leadership of Joshua and Zerubbabel. In the third section, four messages highlights the restoration of God's relationship with his people, as summed up in God's proclamation that they shall be his people and he will be their God. The latter half of the book presents two oracles that use typical features of apocalyptic literature. The term apocalyptic comes from the Greek word meaning revelation or uncovering, and apocalyptic texts often describe visions, use symbolic language, and angelic interpreters. Other examples of apocalyptic literature within the Bible include the second half of Daniel and the New Testament book of Revelation. The first of Zechariah's apocalyptic oracles presents the coming messianic king as a warrior who will fight for Yahweh's people. In the second oracle, the Messiah's suffering leads to God's ultimate victory. The New Testament includes many references to this part of Zechariah. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I praise you and thank you so much for our time together around your holy word. A little here, and a little there. Help us to grow in and through and by your holy word, so that, Lord, we can be strong in the faith and walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Please remember to read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, each and every day of your life, and pray without ceasing to God about everything, and for wisdom to understand His Word and apply it to your life. Most importantly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shalt be saved. Please stay tuned for a complete presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can get your soul saved from hell to that wonderful place called heaven when you die. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Now, dear friends, if you're with us today and you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him, Jesus Christ, for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We're all guilty before God. You do not have the right to look down your nose at others. You're just as wicked as others. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. You will be paid for your sins one day. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Our payday someday is death to these beautiful bodies, death to so many things before you die, death to marriages, death to relationships, death to material things. You will experience 1,000 deaths before you die because of sin. But ultimately, you will die physically. Your body will be put in a cold, dark grave. And that ought to be frightening because it is frightening. But more frightening is that your soul, if it dies without Christ, will go to a burning hell to spend eternity in a dark place, even though there's fire. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that a loving God would put people in the hell." Well, Jesus Christ, the loving and lowly one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ, the loving one and the lowly one, preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Whatever you do, don't experience the second death, because it's bad news. Hell is bad news. But I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And he said these words to you before he left here: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shalt be saved. Pray and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul and to come into your heart and change your life. He will do it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you're ready to trust him as your Savior, pray and ask him to save you, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer in what is called the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. I am guilty because I have broken your Ten Commandments, your law. I've taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my own parents. I have lied many times before. I have lusted after people and things and what others have. I've stolen things before. So Lord, that's 5 to 6 commandments I've already broken out of your Ten Commandments. And so please have mercy and grace upon me. For your holy Son's sake, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, dear friend, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good until next time. Now, I may be traveling here over the next few days, and but I will resume preaching as soon as I get back, and I will do some preaching while I'm on the road. So thank you so much for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us, and we will continue to pray for you. God bless you until next time.